Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 24 this morning. Genesis chapter 24. This chapter is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. The longest chapter, not in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. And this chapter deals with romance. Romance, the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, and the chapter deals with romance. So we're going to note a biblical romance trail to follow this morning. A biblical romance trail to follow. Genesis chapter 24. In verse 1 down to verse number 3, it reads, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear," or make an oath, "by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell." Then note verse 4, "But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we are thankful for the reminder this morning that you do abide with your people. And you are our comfort, you are our strength, you are our teacher. So I pray now that you would fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit, and you would guide us and lead us into truth and understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We left chapter 23 last week with the homecoming of Sarah, went to be with the Lord, and we noticed some wonderful qualities from the life of Sarah in our morning service. And then during the evening we followed Abraham as he went shopping, and we learnt some principles of wise financial stewardship from the life of Abraham as he went shopping for a sepulchre for his family. And now we move into chapter 24, and the Bible teaches us that Abraham is a ripe age. The Bible talks about him being well stricken in age. He is 140 years of age. His son Isaac is 40 years of age. Isaac is in need of a wife. So chapter 24, the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, deals with this issue of finding a lifetime spouse for Isaac. And it's by no coincidence that it is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. That tells us there is some importance laid upon this principle of making sure that we marry the right person. See, the home is foundational to life. Its strength or weakness will have an effect on the immediate family and upon society as a whole. And I have found, with over 20 years of pastoral experience, almost 30 years of ministry experience, that almost all of the issues we have today stem back to a troubled or broken home. Everything from crime to lack of discipline, character, financial problems, addictions, health issues, unemployment, rebellion. In fact, many people suffering from mental illness can point back to a breakdown in their home. So it's so critically important that you and I understand godly principles. Godly principles concerning finding a lifetime spouse. For those of us that are not quite there yet, take note now and prepare for that glorious time of your life. Parents with younger children, parents with mature age children, take note that you will be biblical in your approach and the procedures you take in aiding, supporting God's choice for that child of yours. So a biblical romance trail to follow. That's the title of our sermon this morning from the book of Genesis. It's a safe trail. There are no dangers along this trail. There are no cliffs. There are no dangerous animals on this trail, spiritually speaking. It's a sealed trail. You won't trip up. Very secure. Very predictable. It's sealed. It's safe. It's also a level trail. It's in line with the Word of God. The level trail. And last but not least, this trail, this biblical romance trail to follow, is also a manageable trail. It's achievable. It's achievable. Let's take a few moments and note these principles. Now, spouses within the biblical setting were ultimately chosen so differently and not like today. But before we get too critical of the methods in biblical times, we need to consider the lack of quality in our own time when it comes to the home and people choosing that right person for them. And I'd like for us to note here in chapter 24 of Genesis some eternal principles that bypass culture, time. They are eternal and can be applied today just as they were applied in the selection of a spouse for Isaac. And that's what we want to consider this morning. The first principle I'd like for us to note concerning a biblical romance trail that you and I need to follow. Young people, I want you to take notes. Keep your parents accountable. Amen. You take notes. And parents, let me encourage you, whether your children are younger or older, the first principle that I'd like for us to stress this morning concerning a biblical romance trail is the fact that there must be parental involvement. Parental involvement is a must. It is wise, not just a preference or not just a good option. I'm not referring to parental interference, I'm talking about parental involvement. Abraham was involved in setting the guidelines and providing the motion in finding a wife for his son Isaac. Abraham takes the initiative in finding a spouse for Isaac. He wasn't passive, he wasn't a passive parent, waiting for his son to bring home a special friend and surprise the world with his special friend. Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, meet my special friend. No, 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 no. Abraham was proactive and he led the charge in God's choice for Isaac. So parents, how can we be involved as parents in our child's future spouse? So I'm glad you've asked that question. We can begin by praying for a lifetime godly spouse for each of our children. That's a good place to begin. Pray for them. Pray for them regularly, that God will continue to prepare a lifetime spouse for our child. Another wise means by which we can be involved is what we call parental interviewing. Interviewing. And that is that you as a parent will speak to a prospective spouse and draw some conclusion as to whether they are eligible from those within your child's world. You interview, you talk to your child's peers that could possibly be your future son-in-law or your future daughter-in-law. But don't look at me funny. I'm talking about parental involvement. A recent fellowship meeting that I was at, I noticed that a pastor's wife made the effort to speak to young people. And I noticed that she was talking to young men. I thought, wow, that's wonderful, this pastor's wife, instead of giving her time before and after services to just spend to speak to other pastors' wives. I noticed this pastor's wife made the effort to speak to young men. And then the penny dropped. She has a very eligible young daughter. And what she was doing, she was interviewing. And I had the time of my life watching this pastor's wife talking to different young men that no doubt that she had picked up, had an interest in her daughter. Wise woman. Very wise woman. Interview. Pray. Thirdly, we can ask for discernment. Ask for wisdom on the behalf of our children. And that God will give you and I an opportunity to share that wisdom with our children. Number four, we can talk to our children about their future spouse. Show an interest in whom they will marry one day. Parents, please don't have the attitude, well, Pastor, that's their problem. It was my problem, but I got over that. Wrong attitude. No, no, it's your problem. You are the parent, are you not? And you are accountable to God for your child. So show some interest and talk to your children about their future spouse. Well, Pastor, what do I say? I don't know. You'll work it out. Your child. I know that God will give me the wisdom how to speak to my child, and I'm sure God will give you the wisdom as to how to speak to your child in that regard. So many parents, even Christian parents, are just so unattached. They just do not go there. They're just waiting or stressing out, I might say, concerning whom will she bring home next? Not good. Talk to your children. Number five, you'll like this one, parents. Be prophetic. Be prophetic. If you see some warning signs, you see some things that just don't make sense concerning an individual that has an interest in your child, then you need to speak up. Because you as a parent, you have a bird's eye view. And your child needs you to intervene and note what you see. So pray, interview, ask for wisdom, talk to your child, be prophetic. If you have some ill feelings about an individual, what so is not of faith is sin. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Share it with your child. Number six, facilitate a healthy context for your child to meet young men and young ladies that are of like faith and standard. For example, open up your home. Have young people in your home, for example. Facilitate the cultivation of relationships. Parents, let me ask you, do you love your children? Talk to me. Then get involved in their life. The pastor, they're a grown adult. Yeah, they might look like a grown adult, but they need your guidance. You're still their parent. Amen. You are still mum and dad. And I trust that you have your child's heart like nobody else. And if they love you and you love them, they will value your input. Abraham was involved in the selection of a wife for Isaac. That's our first principle, or a biblical romance trail to follow. Parental involvement is a must. And at no extra charge, I've given you six ways that you can be involved without interfering. Principle number two. Note here, in verse number three, the word wife. Can you see that? Take a wife. And note there in verse number four, take a wife unto my son Isaac. The second principle on this biblical romance trail that we should follow as Bible-believing Christians is to always work off the premise of marriage. Marriage is in view, not a casual boyfriend or girlfriend relationship. Note what Abraham said. He said, we are in pursuit of a wife for my son. The Bible doesn't say a girlfriend for my son. Talk to me. This idea of boyfriend, girlfriend is worldly and it is dangerous. And I don't need to go into any details there. It's worldly and it's dangerous and it's not found in the Word of God. When a child is old enough to have a relationship with the other gender, it must be in the view of marriage. Isaac did not say to the servant, I want you to look out for a lovely young girl that can be Isaac's girlfriend, that he can spoil with chocolates and coffee and who knows what else. No, no, Abraham said, we are in search of a wife for my son. He was 40 years of age. He was ready for marriage. And yes, Abraham was happy to have Isaac married off. So let's get going. We're looking for a wife for my son. So marriage is in view. Isaac was old enough to get married. And my advice is, parents, if your child is not old enough to be married, then they are not old enough to have a focused relationship with a person of the opposite gender. That boyfriend, girlfriend is godless to the core and it is dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. Amen, Pastor. Preach it. If you're not convinced, read this little book here, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. And parents, you need to kiss dating goodbye. go. Destructive. Damaging. I encourage you to invest in this book, parents, if you're not convinced. See, Abraham had read this book, but he worked it out. He was a wise man. He worked out that my son is old enough for a permanent relationship, therefore he is ready for marriage. Marriage is in view, not a casual boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. So if marriage is not in view, then we should not be involving our children in a relationship that could lead to unscriptural and dangerous settings. So marriage is in view. Parental involvement is a must. And as parents, let me just say, parents, that we need to gauge our children's maturity level for marriage. If they are not old enough for marriage, then they are not old enough to have a relationship, because it will lead to trouble. The third principle I'd like for us to note is that we need to take seriously the charge to find a right mate for our child. Take it seriously. Note there in verse number 2 that Abraham was serious about this issue of finding a godly wife for Isaac. In verse 2, he calls his servant to make a commitment. Look at verse 9 as well. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear or vow to him concerning that matter. See, the home is under attack today. And the importance of marrying God's choice is foundational to a healthy, happy, and lasting relationship. So Abraham commissions his servant, Eliezer, and he makes this servant make a commitment to him concerning finding the right person for Isaac. In fact, he gets the servant to take a vow commitment. Now we see another example of this in chapter 47, verse 29, concerning the burial of Joseph. And Abraham said to the servant Eliezer, put your hand under my thigh. And I want you to vow to me that you will do everything in your power as my representative to seek out God's choice for my son. No personal likes, dislikes are involved. Eliezer, you represent me. It's my son's life. You have in your hands. And I want you to make a commitment to me that you'll do everything in your power to discern God's choice for my son Isaac. And Eliezer said, yes, I'll make that commitment. See, Abraham was serious about a lifetime spouse for Isaac. I just wonder whether the average parent is really serious. Their child having God's choice for them. Seems like many parents are very blasé about this whole issue. Are not involved. They keep arm's length. And have this mentality, what will be, will be. No, no, you need to be involved. And if you don't take it seriously, why, for God's glory, will your child take the issue seriously? Unless they see a seriousness with you about your child marrying God's choice. See, Abraham, as he pulled this servant aside, said, I'm going to get you to make a vow to me. You're going to be committed to my preferences, to my likes, what I want for my son. Eliezer said, yes, no worries, master, I'll do that. So take it seriously, parents. Whether your child is knee-high or whether your child has overgrown you in height, take it seriously. The charge of God that you as a parent need to be involved in helping your child discern God's choice for them. Abraham took it seriously. This stage of life is a wonderful time for young adult singles. And it's easy to let down the guard or to get caught up in the emotions of it all and fail to see the serious side of all this. And this seriousness is reflected in those marriage vows that you as a parent, I like to think, committed to once upon a time. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That's serious stuff. The devil is out to destroy. He roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if the devil can devour your child at a young age, parent, that's the end of that. So please, parents, take the charge seriously in the selection of a lifetime spouse for your son, for your daughter. Note then verse number 3. But Abraham said, I will make thee swear, or make an oath by, note the wording here, by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth. It was as if Abraham said to Eliezer, put your hand on the Bible, repeat after me. Exactly what he did with him. He took it seriously. Parents, take it seriously. Your lifetime spouse, take it seriously. Oh, but Pastor, my child's only knee high. Listen, it won't be long that your child will be taller than you. And if you don't take it seriously now, you won't be prepared. Some of you parents are very blasé. She'll be right, mate. No, she will not. With every 3 marriages, 2 end up in divorce. No longer is it 50-50. 2 out of 3 marriages don't last more than 7 years. I say 7 years. You as a parent need to take it seriously. Because how can you expect your child to bear the burden or appreciate the seriousness of a lifetime spouse? They're young, they're in love, a bit stupid. Especially the blokes. Puppy love, infatuation is highly probable. So they need your wisdom, they need your guidance, and they need to see that you are sober about the fact that they need to marry the right person. How old was Isaac? 40. He still had parental involvement. He was at home. He was still under authority. Father was still involved. Amen. This godless idea is if, oh, my child's 18, Pastor. They're an adult. Well, they might look like an adult, but are they living like an adult? Abraham still was involved in the life of Isaac, and he was 40 years of age. Are we still friends? Parental involvement. Number one. A wife, not a boyfriend, girlfriend, we're in pursuit of a lifetime partner here. Number two, marriage is in view. Number three, take it seriously. Take it seriously. This is serious. Over 90% of the social issues we have today, the breakdown of society, stems back to a broken home. It's true. Principle number four. Note there in verse number four that Abraham said to this servant, go unto my country, to my kindred, take a wife unto my son Isaac. At the heart of the oath that Abraham caused this servant to take and agree to was that in his pursuit of a spouse for Isaac, she was to be a person of like faith and of like practice. Note then verse number three, he said, do not even consider one of the daughters of the Canaanites for my son. It is not an option. The Canaanites in that day were godless, they were immoral, they had no moral standards. They worship multitudes of gods. And Abraham said to that servant, now as you pursue that spouse, as you are the medium by which God will provide a spouse for Isaac, it is not an option for you to consider a Canaanite, an unbeliever. Because they are immoral in essence and they are an adulterous people. See, the land of Canaan is yet to be fully subdued by the nation of Israel. That's yet to come. And Abraham said, my son Isaac is only to marry a woman of like faith and practice. Now this was profoundly important, that both Isaac and wife be completely united in their faith before Almighty God. In order to perpetuate the faith and to fulfill the promises that God had entrusted to Abraham's seed. So Abraham said to this servant, in the pursuit of a wife for my son, you will not look. It is not an option to consider a Canaanite, an unbeliever. It must be a believer. And that means that you'll probably need to leave the country and go to my people in order to find a wife for my son. Now this principle is carried into the New Testament. The principle of not being unequally yoked. Note there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 14 and following, it reads, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? What common point is there? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. This needs to be a strong conviction within the heart of every parent here this morning, every child here this morning. The Bible teaches us that we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18, it's very, very clear. It's the same principle that Abraham was referring to in seeking a wife for Isaac. Abraham said, it is not an option to seek a daughter of Canaan. This is the number one destroyer of young people today, being unequally yoked. The number one. It's at an epidemic rate. The issue is not, well, pastor, he or she, they might get saved. The Bible teaches us, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The majority of people that marry a non-Christian, the spouse never gets saved. You only like to hear those one or two little happy little ending stories. But that does not justify what the Word of God teaches. Amen, Pastor. You are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and parents, the biblical romance trail to follow means that you and I determine that my child will marry within the household of faith. And Abraham said to that servant, even if you've got to go all the way back to my homeland to find a spouse for Isaac, do it, but do not consider a Canaanite, an unbeliever. Or you might say, oh, pastor, as long as they have a Christian worldview. No, a Christian. I've had the privilege of being in Israel, making two trips to Israel, and there they make reference to Christians as opposed to Muslims. But the word Christian is used very generically. They're not referring to born-again, blood-bought children of God on the whole. They're just referring to Catholics or Orthodox. That's not Bible Christianity, that's religion. Your child needs to marry a person that has been born again by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, through repentance and faith. And your child needs to marry a person that is genuinely converted to Jesus Christ, but is also living in the path of Christ. They give evidence of their salvation by the way they live. And if you don't set that standard for your child, why, for God's glory, would you expect your child to uphold that standard? Oh, but Mum, they're a Christian. What? They're not a Muslim, not a Hindu. You mean they're religious? Are we still friends? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And some of you adults here this morning, let me fry you this morning. You need to confess your wrong, if you haven't as yet, before your children. And if you don't have the humility to say, children, we made a mistake, God's been merciful, but we made a mistake, God forbid. Your child will grow up in a household believing subconsciously it's okay to marry an unbeliever. And it's not. So please, parents, confess your faults. A Bible Christian has a living relationship with Jesus Christ and gives the evidence of that. They were first called Christians for a reason, because they gave evidence that they were followers of Jesus Christ. They didn't just call themselves, "Oh, I'm a Christian. That means I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Hindu. I'm not a Buddhist." Abraham was involved in finding a spouse for Isaac. Parents, your children need your involvement. Isaac was 40. 4-0. I don't read that he objected. "Oh, Dad, get off the grass. I'm 40 years of age." I don't read of that. Isaac loved his father. They'd been on Mount Moriah together. They were like that. And when Dad took the lead and said, "Okay, son, it's about time we marry you off." "Yes, sir. I trust you, Dad." Parental involvement. Your children need to listen to me. Your children need it. Number two, if your child isn't old enough to get married, then they're not old enough to have a permanent relationship. This boyfriend, girlfriend, "Let's try and before we buy," is godless and is dangerous. Principle number three, we need to be serious. Take seriously. Parents, do you take seriously the need for your son and for your daughter to marry God's choice? Is that serious? Is that a serious issue for you? It should be. If it is, what are you doing about it? Do you convey that seriousness? And last but not least for this morning, got more tonight. Better just warm me up. More tonight. Do not be unequally yoked. You drum that into the minds of your children, because that's what the Bible teaches. "Oh, but Pastor, there could be a happy ending." Yes, there could be a happy ending, but for most it's a miserable end. Believe me. Don't get mad at me. You read your Bible. You get mad at God, who said, "Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." What's so difficult about that? Tell me. "Be separate, saith the Lord." What common point does the living God have with idols? Anything? What common point does light have with darkness? Anything? No! So don't get upset at me. The Bible teaches it.
And you as parents need to preach it and prophesy it to your children. And say, this is a conviction of mine. And that's what Abraham said to the servant, that you will not under any circumstances look or consider a daughter of Canaan. Because they do not believe what we believe. How can there be unity unless there is one-mindedness and oneness of faith? There won't be. And some of you can prove that point. And will you please do that and speak up? The longest chapter in the book of Genesis deals with the subject of romance. More tonight. Come back. Young people, come back tonight. Parents, don't be afraid. Come back tonight. And let's help, let's do our part in preparing that next generation to honor and glorify God. And all of God's people said, let's bow for prayer.